Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Were there anything worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists? Is Vinnie's jokes. And my very special guest joining us today is Philip Ashworth. I believe you're only just joining us via audio today, are you, Philip?
Yes, I can join on with my face. I don't know. Not sure how to at the moment.
There's a little should be a little camera button on the Skype there for all those. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, do want to direct you to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. VinnieEastwood.com, ladies and gentlemen. Over there we have a wonderful selection of archives and sponsors and ways to support the show financially as well. If you value what we're doing here, check out our sponsors, Rebellion Gaia, and also check out the documentary, The Day Democracy Died, because we are going to court on the 30th of March to defend those charges against us for standing up against the quite disgusting emergency lockdown kind of thing. So yeah, guys, it's somewhat appropriate, I think, for many of us to understand that the world is not as it seems, and sometimes you do need to fight against the system itself in order to secure your freedom. Now, the question on a lot of people's minds now is, why are we doing the show still, you know, kind of things after 15 years? Is because it needs to be done, all right? And sometimes there just isn't anybody around to do it. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we're up to over here at the Vinnie Eastwood Show, doing what needs to be done, because we freaking can. And my lovely sponsors, HoldenHealthCare.com, emphasis on the care, have been so gracious as to sponsor this show for a long period of time, and I'm very, very grateful to them, especially with the health advice that they've been giving me with the recent health issues that I've been having. So thank you so much to David Holden at HoldenHealthCare.com, and also Reopen.nz, a directory of anti-mandate pro-choice all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand. If you want to go and add your freedom business today, go to Reopen.nz. And lastly, of course, documentary RiverOfLies.co.nz, the New Zealand Scamdemic, and investigative documentary, has a number of incredible sponsors and contributors on the team, including I think it was James Corbett and Gareth Eichend, a number of other interesting people. So yeah, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, that's the thing out of the way. So without, as they say in Israel, further ado, let's get to our guest, Philip Ashworth. Welcome, brother.
Hey, how you going there, Vinny? You know, nice to be on board.
Oh, thanks, bro. I'm borderline and on fabulous, you know, a little bit. That's my standard response. Now, if you wouldn't mind just telling us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
All right. Well, I'm a survivor of sexual abuse and satanic stuff that happened in Australia. I went to a private boarding school in Sydney, which I gave evidence in 2008, and that started what became Australia's biggest criminal investigation in history. That investigation spread all around the world because all these, they're all linked together. And I went to quite a prominent school, which was linked with Hollywood. I went to school with some famous people, and I've been exposing the truth about what happened, and more of the truth, because the Royal Commission was started in 2011, I think it was, after I gave evidence, and some of my evidence was used in the Royal Commission. That's the Royal Commission, the Woods Royal Commission, that was that covered where they covered up 28 names, which I'm still trying to get to the bottom of. Yeah. So that's basically the gist of it. And I've been fighting this for quite some time. I know that there is, they're very, very powerful, and they ruled the world. And they're in every government and every elite part of society. And in my time now, through this 11-year journey of exposing them, and well, now it's 15 years, I've met quite a lot of people and met other survivors and heard the most unbelievable stories. And it's certainly given me quite a picture of the truth of what exists. I know that there was some really dark things that happened at my school and was going on, and it's some sort of centre powerhouse of control. Very powerful people have gone through that school. Interesting fact here is the Royal Commission, the Woods Royal Commission, he went to Knox Grammar School, same school I did too. So it was more a protection circle that sort of happened and cover up, really. So yeah, I'm just trying to still get to the bottom of this. And my mission is to make people aware of the fact that this is real and this is existing, and it still is now as we're talking. And I can't rest until these people are brought to justice and exposed fully. And that's my mission.
Justice. Somebody was talking about this earlier, how it's a human concept, right? Wrongs happen in the wild all the time, or something like that, or a tsunami or an earthquake might happen, you know? Who are you going to blame? Who are you going to hold to account? But with instances like this, where you're talking about people who abuse and rape children, and basically there's something that happens there that's going to stay with that child for the rest of their lives. I remember I had, what was her name, Rachel Vaughan on the show from Australia, and her father was a high-level Freemason, did sexual surgery on her, right? It's just the most horrific stuff you've ever kind of heard of. What does she do now in her off time? She likes to play with Lego, and she likes to play with dolls. And I was like, You're trying to live that childhood that you never actually got, aren't you? She's like, yeah.
That's terribly sad. Yeah, I've met the most amazing, brave people in my path, and I mean, I've been through it all. You know, the drug abuse, self abuse, you name it. I'm suicidal. You know, I've come to a point in my life now that I know that this is my mission. And that I need to keep safe, and I need to keep in the public eye, and I need to keep fighting this. And I don't care if it kills me, to be honest. I need to do this. And I know the truth. I know the reality of the world. And I'm sharing that with people. And in my path and along this way, I've been helping so many others that have abuse victims as well. And I have quite a lot of people I help. And in some amazing way, out of all this darkness and all the horrible things that have happened to me in this horrendous path that I've had to take, there's been a beautiful thing that's come out of that. And that's, you know, I'm in the light. You know, I see the darkness around me. I recognize it and see it for what it is. And I choose to stay in my heart, in my light, and in my power, and choose to help others and be a voice. And that's what I have the most, you know. And I'll just keep doing this as much as I am drawn to, you know.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people get depressed and get traumatized when they study this. I recall somebody was studying into a Washington, D.C. cult called the Jesters. Now, you know what a jester does? They entertain the court. And what this little cult did is they sponsored a lot of children's burn victims units and things of that nature, and they would give these kids cruises on in the Caribbean with like 80 old men and things of this nature. And the woman who I was interviewing for this, she said when she was conducting her investigation, she started realizing that she was getting traumatized by reading these accounts and seeing what was going on. And isn't that such an interesting thing, is that the most horrific kind of things in this world, the reason why people don't stop them is because they're so horrific that to just expose yourself to them damages you.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I mean, and that's why they have got away with it for so long. You know, bottom line. And it's the one saying that stayed with me all these years now is evil prevails when good men do nothing. And that's been my motto, and I've lived by this, and I will keep living by this. And it's for everybody, you know, like the more we deny this is happening, the more it we give it power, you know. And I know it's a difficult fucking I know it's a very difficult road to go down, and I know that it is horrendous for people to actually get their head around it. And I've the people that have been in my life and my family and friends have witnessed this and seen this and have opened their eyes to the reality of this world. And it's not easy at all. It's a hard, difficult road to go down.
Well, let's try and sum it up, because ultimately when you go into this, there's lots of complicated moving parts and things of that nature, and it helps to really simplify them and kind of like bring them together. So imagine for a moment that the world's run by child trafficking Satanists. Well, why is that, Vinny? Well, it doesn't matter why. It's just that that's what it is. Oh, okay. Well, how's that? Well, imagine for a moment that you've got Catholic boys' schools and all of these well-to-do families and things of that nature going through all of these schools that actually are run by pedophiles who do satanic ritual abuse and things of that nature to them. Oh, but why would they do that to the up-and-coming families? Because you can control people, you can alter their personalities, you can program them, you can make them forget things that you don't want them to remember if you're using the appropriate techniques. Who wouldn't want such a completely undetectable, mind-controlled slave in charge of your corporations, in charge of your government, in charge of your police, in charge of your medicine, in charge of your food supply? Because if they ever had to do something that an ordinary person wouldn't do, they could be made to do it, and even be made to forget even doing it. So that way you have a perfect system, more or less, of blackmail and abuse and scumbaggery and programming that filters down through all of the things that have power and all the institutions in this world. That's how and why this world is run by satanic ritual abusers.
Thank you. Yep, you're spot on, and it's you know, it took me a long time to get my head around that as I was giving evidence and going through this court process and the Royal Commission and what was coming out of the Royal Commission and the things I was reading and how that just kept blowing up around the world. You know, it was shocking to know that I was part of this. You know, and that. You know, I've survived this so far, you know, and got to this point where I'm at. And I feel, you know, incredibly passionate about letting the world know this, you know. I mean, how hard it is for people to hear. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep telling people my story because, you know, it's real and it's true and it happened to me and it happened to many others. And we're all coming out of the woodworks now, you know, and I know people still living and hiding in the dark. I know that they have huge amounts of evidence and they're terrified, you know, they're terrified. And I watched the school I went to and I watched how the grooming process occurred and I watched how I was groomed into this negative state of being because I was of heart and I was a strong person and I've got a coded set of morals and ethics in me, you know, and they knew that from day one. They knew I was a good person. So I was picked out, chosen from day one, and groomed to be abused. And I could see how they picked, they profiled us all. Every single student that went through Knox was profiled. And then they have certain positions and jobs and entertainment industry and so on and so on. And they all came from that school. Some of the most powerful people in Australia came from that school. I mean, the Woods Royal Commission, he went to that school. My lawyers that did the class action went to that school. The media man that I got sick of being mucked around for so many years and lied to and bullshitted and, you know, just everything. And I said, look, I've had enough. I'm going to the media. I'm going to tell everybody everything. And they said, no, no, we'll get the right media person for you. Guess what school he went to? You know, it's I got played for many years through that whole court process. I've worked it out now.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't it funny how it was strange, you know? Hey, how come I can't get a decent outcome in the court against these incredibly well-connected satanic pedophile scum? Well, did it occur to you the court is being run by the aforementioned satanic pedophile scum? Oh, well, so suddenly things make a lot more sense when you're really, really cynical, don't they? And it gives you like, it doesn't give you comfort though, does it? It's a frustrator. Yeah. But the thing is, there's only two things that you can guarantee about reality. It is said, it is what it is, and it isn't what it isn't. Okay. All right. Enough said, right? And you can't wiggle your way out of the truth. And so, in terms of your actual story itself, can you like start at the beginning, go through the details and things of that nature? I mean, the reason I ask is because with any kind of abuse, the brain basically fractures memories and all sorts of different things because we don't recall with dates and figures and things like that. We recall with emotions. So if somebody asks you to put down your story, it goes here, there, and everywhere. It's not kind of chronological because as you narrate it, certain things actually get triggered and you start explaining other things. So this is also another reason why it's very difficult for people to get their head around this issue is because the people who know the information are often find it very, very difficult to give it out in such a concise format for people to understand. So regardless, just please go for your life.
All right. I went to Knox Grammar School as a young man, 12. I started there. Was picked out from day one and profiled, looking back at it now, and also looking back at the evidence. The man that abused me, interesting story about him. He went to the same school. He left the school at the end of his education and went to Duntroon Military School, which was also investigated for its atrocities. He then studied to become a teacher and then went back to the school and lived on campus grounds for 40 years. So... and of course, his abuse went on for many, many years and many, many students. My time at boarding school was quite horrendous. The layers of abuse was in every areas of the school. I was groomed by this man over a period of years. Basically the entire time I was at the school. Eventually, after sort of suicide attempts and all sorts of things going wrong, my mum realised that something was not right. She felt it was not right. She was warned by someone at the school that things were not as they seemed at the school. She was the sister at the school. She ran the medical facility there for boarding students. She was terrified. Mum couldn't understand why she was so terrified, but she warned my mum, and mum got me out of the school. And then I went to a public school from there on in. And just never ever really addressed that again until 2008, when an investigation was started at the school. I was approached by police. That was a very difficult stage for me because I, this is, you know, difficult for me to talk about still. I had Stockholm syndrome. I, in some way, tried to protect him. The police, after a few phone calls back and forth and me hanging up and, you know, the police recognised that I was a victim and said that to me. And eventually I gave them a statement over the phone and gave them details of some abuse that happened. And it was incredibly bizarre for me to sort of get my head around the fact that I am an intelligent human being with, you know, who's, you know, has some success in life and had lots of failures and, you know, drug abuse and all sorts of stuff. But I still, you know, I've always had kept a good, strong mind, you know, and kept going, you know, through all the things I've had to go through. And, you know, there's this innate ability in me to be able to survive, you know. And so yes, trying to get my head around what had happened to me and bringing up those memories took some years. They wanted for me to be at the Royal Commission and give evidence. I sort of fell apart around that time and couldn't do that. I sort of regret that a little. I wish I'd been strong enough at the time to give evidence to the Royal Commission. My evidence was used in the Royal Commission. I think, and that's basically sort of it in a gist, I suppose. And then from there on in, it's just been this huge process of, you know, it took 11 years to go through the process of giving evidence to police, and the Royal Commission started. Everything went on hold while the Royal Commission was going down. And so the investigation opened up after the Royal Commission. Then I was approached by a team of lawyers. As I said, they all went to the same school, or the head of the firm. I basically started that process that went on for another 5 or 6 years. So, it's been a very, very long, long, long journey. And in this time, I've got lots of therapy and uncovered more of the abuse and more things that happened. I had some very powerful spirit healers do some work on me and said, and I hadn't told them anything, didn't tell them anything at all. And they said that a curse had been laid onto me when I was 12, and I knew exactly what they were talking about, and that they helped release this demon from me that was in there that was causing me grief and suicidal thoughts. And, you know, I've lived this life of like, I'm either in a suicide mode and trying to survive and just in a mess, or I'm strong and capable and able and fighting with a sword, you know, and getting there. But and that's been sort of ups and downs for many, many years. I've come to a point now where I'm actually quite at peace, finally, for the first time. And I've been saying to everybody and all my friends, I'm the happiest I've been in 30 years. That's a lot. And, you know, there's an element of that makes me feel quite sad there, you know, and I'm sharing and helping young people to get through their traumas and deal with their stuff now, so they're not having to spend or waste 30 years dealing with things they don't understand. So my path is helping others and with all sorts of things, especially those that have been abused or have terrible childhood traumas. I went through enough childhood traumas myself. My mum put me in boarding school to keep me safe from my father, who was quite violent. If my father was alive and knew he would have dealt with them, I tell you now. He was that sort of man. He didn't know, and nor did my mother. They were groomed as well. He came to our house and made friends with my family and my parents. So, yeah, that's been very difficult for my mum still to get her head around. She's still very angry about that, you know, of course. Yeah, he came into our lives and manipulated us. And, yeah, it's quite shocking. It's hard to get my head around. And then, of course, this man that abused me, within 2 weeks of his charges, he was out of the country. And new passport, new ID. how does a school teacher get that, you know? And but he was found by Interpol running an orphanage in South Africa. So he was then on the run again, and now he lives in Namibia, which Australia does not have an extradition order with Namibia. Namibia hides many pedophiles and has quite a satanic ritual sort of side to it. At one point I said to the police, I'm going to go over there and face him. And they said, please do not do that. The minute you enter that country, he'll be notified. And we would say that you'd be lucky to live the next hour. That's what they told me. The original police investigation team were good people. They were all left the force, shifted to other jobs. The next investigation team was the cover-up team, I believe. And then after COVID started, all the investigations were closed. So I knew that COVID was the biggest cover-up to hide the biggest crime in human history. That's what I know.
Oh, let's see, how many things could you pull off with COVID other than that? You know, it's simultaneous, you know. It's like, what couldn't you pull off with COVID? I'm thinking about this as well, because that actually happened as well in New Zealand. We had the Christchurch mosque massacre, and the guy who allegedly did it had pled not guilty all the way up until the day of the first lockdown, and then he pled guilty when the media weren't allowed to go to court because it was lockdown.
Yeah.
And then they sealed all the evidence for 30 years and put him away in solitary confinement for life with no media or visitors allowed ever, at the cost of, I think, $40,000 a month to the New Zealand taxpayer.
Good God. Yeah.
There's nothing going on here, bro. There's nothing going on here, you know. It's not suspicious at all. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
What about Cardinal Pell and his court case? He was in jail for 8 years, and he got a special court day during the lockdown. Do you remember that? Did you see that?
Nah, bro.
Well, he got let out. He got let off and was back on a plane back to the Vatican.
As you do.
During the lockdown. Sorry?
As you do.
Yeah. So they had a special court day for him while all the courts were closed during the lockdown. And only certain people were allowed to be there, of course. And no one of the opposition or no victims or no, you know, no one else was allowed to be there. And they found him not guilty and set him off free.
I guess nobody saw that coming.
No, during lockdown, well, everyone was distracted.
You know, so the only people who are able to travel around in lockdown are Vatican-employed pedophiles, gum, and people who work on the Avatar movie. I'm sure the two are not related, but with the rumours in Hollywood, nothing can be discounted, you know. The blue people, goodness knows you can't trust them.
Yeah, horrendous. It's hard to get your head around still, isn't it? Like, I mean, the more I uncover, the more I just keep shaking my head and going, oh, my God, how's the world going to cope with this, you know?
I mean, there was also the other thing Rachel Vaughan told me. She said she saw a ritual in a underground Masonic temple. Apparently in Adelaide, they've got all these underground tunnels, and under the Masonic temples, they've got little things. And we'll talk about that more after the break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. It's part of the plan. I'm guilty of the capital crime. I'm guilty. I'm doing the time. I'm guilty. Judged by the law. I'm guilty of the worst crimes you ever saw. I break up.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about drinking tequila and talking about satanic pedophile abuse. My very special guest, Philip Ashworth. Welcome back, bro.
Hey, here you go, mate.
now you said it was in 2008 that you kind of like started talking out about this, and that's quite coincidental because that's the year I quit my job, bought a camera and an iMac and started, you know, filming all the protests and activists and that kind of thing. And here we are today.
Yeah, amazing, eh? Must have been the year it all started, I suppose, isn't it? You know, the things started getting exposed everywhere. You know, it's an energy that started, and it's just grown, you know, so huge. And it's about time, you know. You know, I've been challenging everybody. Are you really happy with the world that it is? You know, do you we all know that these things going on, and to what extent, I suppose, people question. And what I've discovered in yourself, I suppose, is that it's as bad and as ugly and as horrendous as you can imagine, and possibly even worse.
Yeah. What did they say? It's like 10,000 times worse than you can possibly imagine. That's about how it is.
It's about right, my friend. Yeah,
it's so bad that you can't even think about it, right? Like, for example, I remember a friend of mine. His sister was a psychopath, and one day at a family dinner and stuff like that, he leaned across the table and he asked her, hey, could we just like have a nice dinner and not get like angry at each other or something like that? And she got up off the table. She went to the broom closet. She grabbed the broom out of it, and she came and she broke the broom over the back of his head.
Good God.
Like, he didn't see that coming, you know? They do things that would never occur to you to do, you know. That's why it's so crazy. They just come out of left field, man. Whoa.
Yeah.
And the whole blackmail thing, it was like, who was it? I think it might have been Frederick or James Wright, or anyway, the big Freemason whistleblowers. And they were saying that, you know, you don't get invited into those top degrees unless you're actually invited, kind of thing. And then you go through stages. Oh, yeah, we're going to sacrifice a goat. And they're like, really? You're going to sacrifice a goat? It's like, no, we're just kidding. No, you don't get an invite again. All right. You see what I'm saying?
I know that definitely my school is a training ground for the Masonic Lodge. Yeah, Masonics, definitely. It's a very powerful training ground, and some of the most elite powerful people have gone through that school or involved in that school still.
Yeah, it's known as the De Mole, and we've got a woman in New Zealand here, Karen Brewer, who's been exposing this for a couple of years. Who is your daddy, and what school did you go to? There's the two questions she asked, and there's a whole network. Yeah. There's a whole network of these Freemasonic De Mole schools and things of that nature. She does some good work on that. What was I talking about? Oh yeah. So, how do you keep somebody so totally afraid that they'll do anything you want, no matter how evil and no matter how terrible it is? Rachel Vaughan, she told me this story, that when she was in one of these underground Masonic temples, they managed to conjure a shadow into existence. Like you're sitting there, it's in the firelight, and suddenly a shadow moves out from the shadows, like, and it's got a form. I think it was like a Osiris or something. They've got different temples for different old gods. These are the old gods that they pray to, and they're able to summon the shade that comes in, and it comes up and it starts to inspect each and every one of the acolytes. And she could see, you know, even as a small child, something on these people's face that she'd never seen before. And all her years of being abused. Fear. Not just fear. Terror. All right? So how do you get this bad stuff done? By somebody who knows. Doesn't fear, but knows that demons are real. And what will they do to you if you refuse to do their bidding?
I've become very aware of that in the last few years, and I've seen demons attached to people. I'm working in that area now to try and help others with this, knowing and having had one attached to me for most of my life. Honest to God, there was a time in my life where I just thought, nah. It's all a bit too fucking too crazy, you know. And excuse my swearing. The evidence just becomes so overwhelming that it is real, and there are demons that exist, and they are working very hard at trying to bring them down into this world, and they have worked very hard at putting them into our products and our foods and things we buy, and the rituals that they do to everything is very dark, and I'm seeing it now for what it is, and it's quite terrifying. It really is. It's everywhere. In fact, I truly believe we are living in a very dark world, a demon world, and I feel there is a spiritual war at play, and I feel there are beautiful, amazing, powerful beings coming down to help us here. And there are people in this world trying to stop that, and who are bringing demons into this world to try and create chaos for our world and for humanity. I truly believe that now.
Yeah, there's an energy transfer or something like that occurs. When you abuse the innocent, you get to siphon that energy. It's kind of like the dark crystal. In the dark crystal, they had the beautiful Gelfling who sang and danced and things of that nature. They strap him to a chair and they shove a beam of light into them, and that sucks their essence out, and then they're just left these dull kind of zombies, right? And I was thinking to myself, how fictionalized is that, really? Because what if they're doing this kind of practice figuratively, sucking people's souls out of their bodies and sending them around? And I think it was James Wright who was telling me about how the 33 degrees of Freemasonry are about separating the 33 layers of protection of your soul that lashes it to your body, kind of thing. That's why there's 33 bones in the spine, and the 33rd being the cranium. And so as each ritual you go through, it seems innocuous, but it's just separating one of your little protections off, and then they separate another and another and another until eventually you get to the head honcho, the 33rd degree. Apparently there's levels after that or whatever. But at this point, they've got the framework in place in your body where they can pull your soul out and stuff something else in. And then, so imagine you've got literal meat puppets out there who maybe completely unaware. Be careful what you wish for.
You can see it in their face. You noticed some of the politicians that have been of recent times, their faces have distorted and changed and become quite ugly and dark, including our own Prime Minister. Dan Andrews was a big one. I noticed that face was really dark and evil, wasn't it? You know, they're possessed, these people. And that's the only thing I can understand as to why they're doing such horrible things. You know, murderous.
Yeah. What was it? The mindset of this. Now, if you have never had control or whatever, like, for example, a hoarder. If you've ever known a hoarder or something like that, you'll know, if they've told you, that at some point in their life, they had a whole bunch of stuff that somebody took away from them, or somebody burned, or somebody destroyed, or got lost, or something of that nature. So for the rest of their life, they were forever hoarding in order to prevent themselves from suffering a similar kind of trauma that they did. It's a protection blanket, whatever.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
With psychopaths, it's something similar, except they hoard power and control. Because power and control was held over them, to abuse them, they now want to have as much of it as they possibly can, so that they can't be the abuser, they can be the abuser. They can't be abused, they can be the abuser. Sort of thing. So it's basically a survival mechanism. The brain doesn't really make a decision, it's just like, this is what I'm trying to do to survive. So that's why when you corner these people and you try to bring them to justice, that's when they're at their most dangerous.
Yeah. Absolutely, I agree. Yes. Yeah. I'm just had to face a situation today, actually. Alcohol activates this demon in people sometimes, I see, and they change as soon as they drink. It's quite dark and quite disturbing. I've stopped drinking and anything in my life now, you know. I'm pretty clean living these days, so, yeah.
Yeah, well, they say that alcohol is prevalent in a lot of this abuse and things of that nature. And the Arabs called it al-ghul. That's where we get the English term ghoul from. But in English we call them spirits. Why do we call them spirits? It's because you can imbibe a demon, essentially. Yeah. And certain people aren't spiritually, you know, protected and stuff like that, and their demons can just come out. Whereas, you know, me, I blacked out drunk once, right? First time I ever blacked out drunk. And I thought I'd just, you know, taken off my pants and gone to bed. But I didn't. I got the story next morning that, you know, Vinnie Eastwood, so drunk, so out of control, so possessed by demons, you know what he did? He went and he threw up in the toilet, and then he drank some water, and then he ate a sandwich, and went back to bed. All right, that's how out of control my demons are, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I got this stuff locked down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Same, I can drink and, I mean, I can have a couple of beers and be fine. But I've noticed some people can just, as soon as it touches their lips, they change. And that demon comes out straight away. And it's becoming very apparent now in people. And I think whatever they're doing some rituals that are activating all this sort of stuff. And, you know, I'm not entirely sure what they're up to, but I know they're up to something. And they're up to very dark things in the background that are affecting everyone and all of us. And those of us that are strong and in our heart and in connected with spirit and God or whatever you choose, we're okay, we're safe. But it's all around us. It is all around us.
Well, I was just thinking about frequency and consciousness sort of thing. Yeah. You know, fear is a frequency, love is a frequency, so on and so forth. And that's why they've got these ziggurats and all of these big kind of phallic symbols and things of that nature around our major cities to channel that satanic energy down into the thing, travel those negative vibes. That's why all the music is done in, 512 hertz or something like that instead of 438, which is the God frequency, they do it in the satanic frequency, or something like that. I forget the exact numbers. So it's like a...
Look into that. Another rabbit hole.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of like an overlay. So if you've got a picnic blanket and you've got a picnic basket and it's got all your picnic items into, you know, you've got your ham, your mustard, your bread, your butter, whatever. And then somebody throws a blanket over that basket... All right, the same basket with all the same things is still in there. It's just concealed now. You can't really see that there's even a basket there. And that's how the world really is. It's just basically this overlay. Everything's actually pretty straightforward when you just take off the basket and look. But the problem is that a lot of people just do not want to look. And more to the point, it is you get direct consequences for looking. And that's if... they don't find out about you and come after you because you're looking, right? You still get consequences as a result of this. So I'm kind of thinking about this. It's a multi-spectrum discipline in order to turn a world bad, right?
Yeah.
You got to have everything under your sway. What are you watching today? Oh, I'm watching something made by Hollywood satanic pedophiles. Oh, okay. What are you going to listen to after? Oh, I'm going to listen to a rap artist who's funded by satanic pedophiles. Oh, okay. And then what are you going to do for dinner? Oh, I'm going to go out to a fast food restaurant that's run by satanic pedophiles. Oh, okay. And who are you going to vote for in the election?
You're so right. You're so spot on. And it's funny, but disturbing, isn't it? And it's so true. I know. And I'm everywhere I look now, and everything I see, I go to watch Netflix at night, and when I watch something, and I think, I just want to settle down and watch a movie. And then I'm like, oh, God. You know, like, what I know now, it's hard to live in the world now what I know about the truth of it, you know. Yeah. But I have wonderful people around me. I have hope, and I, you know, meeting you and doing this today gives me great hope and great encouragement to keep going, you know, and I truly believe we're doing God's work here or something powerful, that's damn sure, you know.
Indeed. Yeah. God's work, ladies and gentlemen, being cut off by the commercial break so we can earn that satanic pedophile money. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at VinnieEastwood.com. Welcome back. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about keeping your Luftwaffe aloft. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on republicbroadcasting.org. Check out VinnieEastwood.com to check out all the archives, and there's also on the Vinnie and the Vendettas page a wee bit of music there. You might have just heard some. That's Luftwaffe Aloft. We've got a music video here with the subtitles if you want to do that. We're also live on kiwiradio.nz. The lovely Ralphie is helping me out by doing the archiving and things of that nature. There's an MP3 thing that you can download, guys. So check it out and utilize that stuff that we are making available to you. Speaking of which, donating to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, if you do donate, that gives you the carte blanche. You can invite any guest you want. In fact, one of my donors has kind of like, I think it's nearly about 50 to 70% of the guests on this show are people that I've never heard of that my donors just suggest, hey, get this guy on the show. And I'm like, okay, now, if you want a guest on, just flick us a donation, any donation, and let us know, because you can have a private call with me as well. I'll give him your number, and we'll have a chat. And if you have a media project or idea that you want to deal with or something of that nature and you want a hand with it, I'll give you a hand with it. And you also get access to the Secret Donors Club on Facebook. You can donate through PayPal, Kiwi Bank, and Patreon. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I do appreciate you all supporting the band there on Patreon. We are going into the studio and getting some music made. Philip, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay. So we only have just a few minutes left in the broadcast here. Do you have any final words of wisdom and things of that nature to anybody else who's gone through similar abuse to you?
Oh, look, you know, this is the time. This is the time to get it all up, bring it all up to the surface and get it out. And I'm here for anyone at all. I'm easy to find on Facebook. And I'm here to talk with anyone that's been through any of this. I'm here to help, and I care about the world, and I care that I want to see a new world where it's not run by this evil, you know. And I want to see a beautiful world that's, you know, where we care and love each other, and the truth is spoken, and all this trauma and all this shit that's been trapped, all this stuff that's been trapped away for so many years.
I really apologise about the swearing there, guys. It's an Australian thing. It just keeps freaking coming out. So
I really tried. Sorry, I do apologise. I just want to see, you know, the truth come out. I want these people exposed, and I won't stop until it's done.
All right. Thank you so much, Philip, for your time today. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. This is the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and VinnieEastwood.com speaking. And basically, I know you're cool because you listen to this show. This show turns a lot of people off if they're too sensitive, if they don't have their sense of humor, and if they're just not cool. You're cool, ladies and gentlemen. And this is a very difficult thing to accomplish in this day and age. Thank you so much, Philip. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. And we will see you again sometime at VinnieEastwood.com.